Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more powerfully minded life. Powerfully minded. Powerfully minded. You know, lately, a new survey from the National Sleep Foundation said that 27% of the people surveyed are having more difficulty sleeping nowadays than they did at a similar period recently. And this is directly accountable to the state of the economy, the kind of unrest that's out there. It seems that no matter who you are, as cool as you could be and somebody who really understands the world, people are being affected by the world and what's happening to the world financially. How does that affect you? One of the surveys showed that the more that you have or the wealthier that you are, the more you're affected, because if you don't have very much and you hear recession, you just have a little less than what you had. But people who are concerned about images, people who are wealthy, people who have a lot of possessions, they get more anxious because they have to protect their images, which are built around their possessions. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So the middle class is less fortunate than the so-called lower class, because I got plenty of nothing and nothing's plenty for me. That's one way to be, you know. That doesn't mean I'm no more anxious now than I were a year ago, because I didn't have any money in my Keo plan. Whereas to the people who did have money and the people who were saving money, they, of course, got shaken up. So today I want to look at the recession itself and recession anxiety and recession psychology. And in order to do this, I'd like you, my friends, to just consider these words that we toss around. What is a recession? What does that word mean, recession? If there's a wave, and the wave is at the ocean, and this wave hits the shore, and then the water kind of pulls back out, the water recedes. So is a recession mean the pulling backwards? A receding hairline, the pulling backwards of your hairline? What is a recession? Does a recession mean that it always comes from abundance? Could there be a recession that didn't come from abundance? So in other words, it's saying, you know, we had a lot of something, and now we have less of it. Significantly less. It's almost as if we are saying a recession means at some point there was significant abundance. Well, let's think about what happened over the last 20 years. There was significant abundance. Over the last 20 years, everybody wanted to own a house. Who ever heard of such a thing? When I was a kid, the people who owned houses were really people who were very solid. They had jobs. They were buying things that cost very little money. And they were paying it off over time. But not everybody thought of buying a house. Over the last 20 years, every teenager I knew, every 21-year-old was thinking about buying property, or buying a condo, or buying things. And then they would borrow this money from a bank who would lend them the money that wasn't there to buy this thing because it was going to go up in value. And then came recession. The values were lowered. And then, of course, everything fell apart, or is falling apart. Or maybe it's not just falling apart, maybe it's just drawing back. A recession, to recede, means to pull backwards. So when prices go up really fast, or you have a business and you sell a lot of things in your business and you do very well, and then there's a recession, you do 20% less business. So if you're a dentist nowadays, you're doing 20% less business. And people say, how are you doing? And you say, terrible, it's the recession. But it's not so terrible, because it's just 20% less than the good stuff. When does a recession become a depression, and why are you so worried about a recession? it recedes. So what? That's what nature does. Nature gives and it takes away. It gives and it takes away. Well, the fear is that the recession won't end. The fear is that your recession is going to turn into a bigger recession and you're not going to be able to make it through it. You know, there's an interesting thing about nerves. I studied the nervous system when I was in school. And one of the things you learn about nerves is this kind of yearning fingertips that we have at our nerve endings. Our nerve endings are kind of stretched out, trying to reach out towards each other. We want nerve transmission. And then after a nerve fires, the first thing it does, it fires, it recedes, it pulls back. Why does it pull back? Because it's got to gain protein. It's got to build protein so it could fire again. So the withdrawal of the nerves, the neurons, is a powerful part of its being able to refire. For some people, when those nerves pull back, they get damaged. And they're no longer useful. Or for some people, if you don't use your nerves at all, they atrophy. And then they become depressed. So part of what we're afraid of in this recessionary psychology is that things are going to get so bad, we'll get so used to not buying things, we'll get so used to not having the money, that we will be permanently poor. And that we will have to struggle and we'll have to do without things. And this fear goes, undermines you. And people have it affecting them in every walk of life. Young couples nowadays. There are many reports about the young couples and the strain on the young couples. Young 35-year-old, 30-year-old couple that just got married. They were basing it on the fact that they had this kind of affluence and the way things were working were going to work out. They're putting their things together. And then all of a sudden, you don't have the money anymore. All of a sudden, it's not so joyful. All of a sudden, you can't take your trips. You can't rent your places that you go to. You're not going to your ski lodge. Not prepared for it. Without that affluence and with this recession, people are faced with, what do I have when I don't have my toys? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. A recession is a good thing. A recession is a good thing because pulling back is good so you could take a look at where you are. Pulling back and finding that you were dependent on these outside things to make you feel good is good for you to learn so that you can find some internal things to make yourself feel good. So we want to look at how we can make ourselves feel better about ourselves without being dependent on the outside, the recession itself. Now, when a recession stays back for so long, when your nerves recede for so long that they're no longer useful, that's when it becomes a depression. And here we use economically, we talk about economic depressions. A depression is there are no jobs. A depression is there's nobody buying anything. That's the depression. That's what we fear. We fear that it's going to last so long that we won't be able to recover. But I don't fear that, because I think it's all illusory anyway. I don't think it's really whether we are or are not. I think it's all some kind of an illusion that we are being fed and we are being told to be careful and be cautious by the people who want us to be cautious. However, you, what about you? How does it affect you? And how has it affected you? And how has the anxiety over the current economic life affected you? Has it affected you in some way? Has it tossed you around? Do you worry about it? Do you feel the pressure of it? Well, we're going to talk to you about it today. We're going to take your calls, and we're dealing with the psychological aspect of the recession. Our telephone number is 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. You could actually start calling now. We'll be taking your calls in just a couple of minutes. 212-209-2900. And it would seem that just as women, certain people will experience anxiety different if they have more to protect, just as so women and men are going to feel differently because you have different hormones, because you have different chemicals. Who is the greater protector? Who is going to suffer more? The man who doesn't show his feelings? Or the woman who does show her feelings? You know, if you're somebody who's likely to express your feelings when you feel them, you might be better off than the person who just buries it. Because think of that lesson we received as we were kids. Every time things get tough, you're supposed to suck it up, and you're supposed to be strong and overcome it. Well, what if you're scared? It's okay to be scared. It really is. 212-209-2900. Let's start off with one of your calls today. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello?
Hi there.
How's it going, Armand? It's Daniel.
Hello, Daniel.
How you doing? Good?
Good.
So, yeah, I've had a little business for a couple of years that I haven't really felt the hit that much, maybe until recently. But I don't know. I was living... I mean, even though the business wasn't doing so bad, I was still doing kind of the week-to-week thing a year ago, and I'm still doing it now. And if
what do you mean by week-to-week thing?
I mean, I've never really been good at saving money. Like my business is all right, but I never really have like a huge chunk of money saved up.
Well, Daniel, wait a minute. How about you've always been good at taking care of yourself in a way that you've enjoyed life?
That's right, exactly.
All right, are you somebody who has a good time?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so now we're going to change this phrase. It's not that you haven't been good at saving money, but you haven't been bad at spending money.
That's right.
You've been able to take care of yourself in a way that you enjoy. So there's one group of people, like Daniel, who say the following. I'm working, and I'm going to have a good time. And there are other people who say, I'm working, and I'm not going to have a good time because I'm going to save it for the future.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly,
Daniel
exactly.
is getting his points now. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't really, I'm just calling to say, I'm not really, I don't feel the hit in, like, a really bad way. I'm not worried, not any more worried than I was before. You know, I'm spending money, doing stuff that I think is fun to do. And I don't know, I'm not really that fearful.
Well, you know why, Daniel? Because you're a dancer.
Because I'm what?
You're a dancer. Because you're a dancer. Because you know how to dance on the surface of things. You know how to deal with things. You know how to move from place to place.
That's right.
The people who worry are the people who get stuck.
That's right.
They're afraid they're going to get caught in the quicksand.
I actually do love to dance and salsa.
Especially. I know.
So but yeah, I hope people will learn to dance on the surface a little more. Maybe that's what this will force people to do.
Did you hear that lady yesterday? We had somebody on the air who was doing online salsa dancing.
No, I'm
online salsa teaching. You should listen to yesterday's program.
Oh yeah.
She talked about a website she's working on, which she's pulling together, where she's teaching salsa online.
That's insane. That's crazy. I never heard of that.
Isn't that a good idea?
That is a great idea.
Go back and listen to yesterday's show. She'll probably get the website from that.
Or maybe she'll
call in a little bit. Well, Daniel, thank you very much for calling us. And yes, I will say to you, as I say to many people, it is more fear of what has happened than it is what has happened that
Correct.
Has touched people so far.
Thanks a lot, Armand. I'll talk
okay.
to you soon.
Thank you. 212-209-2900. We're talking about recessionary psychology. We're talking about what's happened to people's mind and their fears. And, you know, if you're a frightened type, you're going to get frightened. And if you're a never-get-frightened type, you're going to never get frightened. But let's talk to you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Curry.
Hello, Curry.
I listen to your show all the time. I like your show.
Thank you.
I recently got laid off about 5 months ago. I moved to New York 2 years ago, and I don't know, just like it seems like just as my life was taking off, I was in the industry that I wanted to be, you know, I got laid off, and I'm just like, I'm scared because I don't know what to do next, I'm confused, and I don't know, I'm just like so frustrated with everything.
What's your profession? What do you do?
I'm a business major, but I was working for a designer, interior designer, so I was his assistant.
So you were working for a designer and you got laid off as a designer?
No, as a designer assistant.
I'm sorry, as a what?
Designer assistant.
Designer assistant, yes. Okay, so Corey, let me ask you something. What scares you? Why haven't you gotten another job?
I've been looking for another job, but it's like everybody's telling me everything's on hold right now, everything is frozen, and I don't know, I'm just like so frustrated with the whole thing.
So maybe you're looking in the wrong areas for a job. You know, in other words, you got to step out of that area and go look in some totally new area to try to find some other place where you can go, because you want to be a part of it. And I know, I can hear the depression in your voice, Corey. I can hear that it's starting to beat you down.
Yeah,
you know?
Because I'm frustrated. I'm like, you know, like, what do I do next? Like, which industry do I go in next? Do I move back to Florida or do I move somewhere else? I'm just like, well, should I go back to school? I don't know. I'm just like so frustrated.
You feel really lost.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand. I understand, and you're kind of caught in the middle of this. And what it requires is it requires some action, Corey, where you wind up giving to people. So what I need you to do to get yourself motivated is to join a volunteer program of some kind. I need you to volunteer your time to help people out.
That's what I wanted. I was volunteering, but it wasn't fulfilling.
Where were you volunteering?
I was volunteering at this theater down in Midtown, but it wasn't like, I don't know, I would like to help people.
That's right. Find something where you help people. And there are a lot of soup kitchens. There are places where people need your help. You know, you're a giving spirit. What's happened to you is, Corey, you are somebody who gives, and you've shut off the giving spigot. You have no way to give in this world right now. When you open that up, when you wind up giving to people again, it's going to free you. You're going to find your path is going to become clear. So you must get into something where there's an active, you could do Meals on Wheels, you could do any number of volunteer services where you deliver services directly to people. When I was young, I used to work at the Rehabilitation Institute on 34th Street, where all I used to do was stand behind wheelchairs of paraplegics and quadriplegics. So there were people who had no arms and no legs, who had these wheelchairs, and they didn't want me to help. They wanted me to stand behind in case it rolled too far. And they didn't want my help. And my volunteer service was just to be there. Well, I got so much out of that. I learned so much about human spirit, about human will. It was the biggest gift I could have gotten. So our gift is being able to deliver and give something. Find a place where you could do it.
Well, should I move?
No. You should stand still. No, should you move, you mean out of New York?
Yes.
No, you're a part of us. Get over here. We need the teachers. We need you. Don't give us up. You mean go to Florida?
No, I was thinking about doing some volunteering abroad or joining the Peace Corps.
That's all a good idea, but I think there's enough stuff here in America you could be doing. Are you from India originally?
No, I'm from Haiti.
From Haiti, huh? There's plenty that you could be doing here.
I just don't want to stand behind volunteer. Like, I need human contact.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, WBAI, the radio station, they have their fund drive coming up in May.
Right.
And they do a lot of good work for Haiti. I would love to see you down there as well.
Oh, I'll go online. I'll check it out.
Okay, Corey. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Ahmad.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. So a man called me the other day, and he said, give me a reason why I shouldn't kill myself. He said this to me on air, and the entire professional public held their breath, and they said, uh-oh, suicide call. And I said to him, because he was very articulate, and I said to him, because you speak well. And I said something to the effect of, here's the way it works. You communicate. You have language. You speak clearly. You have a good voice. Somehow you got on this planet and they gave you this gift of the skill of communication. So it makes you naturally a teacher. It makes you somebody who naturally can teach other people. And by teach people, I mean you just show them where the light is. Point them to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Just show, you know, do something. And so if I had to give you one reason why none of you should end your life, it's because I need you. We have an army of man, an army of people, and the army of people is meant to help people get stronger and help people get through. And every one of you with those special gifts like Kuri, you have a chance to touch other people, and that's why you got to stay here. 212-209-2900. This is Armando Miller. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi. You know, it's nice being young like Daniel, you know, and be a dancer. And, of course, it's really nice being yourself and say that it's all illusionary. You do know that we're hemorrhaging 600 to 700,000 jobs a month, right?
Sure.
Not necessarily in the therapeutic field.
You know, I can't hear too well. Are you on a remote phone?
I'm on a Bluetooth.
On a Bluetooth. Can we find another way? Because I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Okay,
and it's just so unclear.
Hold on one second.
Okay, maybe you try your red tooth. We're holding on to...
Hello? Hi.
Perfect.
Is that better?
Yeah. What's your name?
I'm Andrew.
Andrew,
so,
thank you.
Of
that
course,
was perfect.
As the misery index goes up, the number of people in the therapeutic fields can go up also.
So wait, what do you mean people in the therapeutic fields?
Well, people like yourself who treat people who are not doing well.
No. People don't go into therapy.
Okay.
No,
well,
Andrew, people don't do that. People tend to not go in therapy when they feel this way.
It just seems to me, I beg to differ. The number of self-help books and books prized therapeutic professionals.
Oh, now you're talking about books is different.
Well, all I'm saying is that your field doesn't necessarily do bad when things are bad.
That's not true. I don't know why you're saying it. Okay.
It's not true.
Okay, no. Andrew, wait a minute. Wait. Let me just explain to you. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it's not true. All people who deliver services suffer on some level. And it's okay. People don't have money. When people don't have money, you got to take care of them anyway. You got to drop fees. You got to take care of people. If you're a dedicated professional, if you're an exploiter, that's a different story. Then you write books like How to Manipulate Real Estate for your own profit. But what about you, Andrew? You're such a good guy. What are you doing?
I'm not a good guy.
Are you a bad guy?
I'm not a good guy.
But are you a bad guy?
It's hard to say if I have.
But let me ask you, by your own judgment, what don't you like about Andrew? What don't you like about you?
This isn't really a call about me. This is supposed to be
a
call about
it's a call about the positive mind. Andrew, but what don't you like about you?
Well, there are any number of things not to like about myself.
Name one. Name that you don't like about you, that you don't like.
Well, I'm not a dancer. How's that?
Okay.
That's one.
What does that mean? That means that you're not flexible?
No, I'm not. Well, I'm flexible, but I'm not physically fit.
Okay. That's one.
Sense. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's one.
What else don't you like about yourself?
Let's see, self-indulgent, hypercritical, perfectionist.
Okay, so let me ask you something about this part
of
you.
Uncentered.
There's a part of you.
Can't follow my bliss.
There's a part of you that kind of lives on this negativity, this kind of energy of negativity, and you don't like that about yourself. You wish you weren't this way, right?
What?
You wish you weren't that way.
That's right.
I understand, but you know, I'll tell you something. In my life, I've run into people. There are some people who are just the angry people, and there are some people who are the sad people, and you need them both. We need you and your hypercriticalness just as much as we need everybody else out there. So in my book, no matter what shape you're in, no matter what you're saying, no matter how critical you are, I still love you.
Thank you. Well... I mean, I still think...
Are you alone in this world?
No, I'm not alone in this world.
Thank God. How did you ever find anybody...
Amazingly enough, I am not.
How did you ever find anybody to love you?
It's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe, but she does, right?
Yes. Actually, there are more than a few people.
How did... What must your charm be?
I don't know.
Well, that's a lucky man. You see, now there's a lucky man. A man who has many more people love him than he believes he deserves. That's my new American name for you. He who is loved by more than he deserves. You know? Pretty good, Andrew. Hey, are you still there or are you gone? Probably said too many good things. Anyway, you know, he's lovely. He's lovely, and they're all lovely. And, of course, people feel hypocritical. And, of course, we're losing jobs, and we're hemorrhaging, and everything you read about in the economy and all the pages you read. And the news is telling you how bad things are, and people are selling their houses and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying it's not bad out there. Of course it's bad. But mind you, my friends, your spirit, no matter where your spirit is, your spirit can survive this. We have a spirit that will live through just about anything. And I am sure this is just one of those ways that we're taking stock. We're recovering a little bit. We're going to find some new way of being just a little more honest. Let's take one more call. Armand DeMille, hi. WBAI, hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, I'm on?
Yes.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, my friend.
Okay. Actually, I think the way this affected me in the bedroom with my wife.
Sure.
Depressed, and not depressed actually, I would say more hyper. I get emotional and I get irritated, you know, and I guess that's where it affects.
Yeah, that kind of nervousness that you're talking about. There's a little part of the brain called the amygdala. When it senses danger, it gets triggered, and you get this nervous kind of feeling, which will do a whole bunch of things to you in your own house. It'll make you feel like you could cry. It'll make you angry. It'll make you impotent. It'll make you feel so many different ways. Is there somebody around who loves you? Does your wife, does she ever hold you?
Actually, yes. Not as much. She should.
Not as she should. No. Let's try it this way.
Okay.
Here's what I want you to do. Are you ready?
Yes, Armand.
I want you to get some cream and massage your wife's feet. I want her to sit on the bed, and I want you to use your hands and put some soft cream on her feet, and I want you to massage her feet with no words for about 15 minutes. And say nothing. Do it. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to do it, and when you're doing it, you're going to feel your heart open, and you're going to say no words, and you're going to feel healed.
Thank you.
Trust me.
Okay.
Call me back and let me know. This is going to be beautiful for you.
Thank you very much, Armand.
Okay. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's a positive mind. I'll explain that to you in a minute, my friends. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, some exquisite music, and then we'll continue. Joshua Bell. Joshua Bell, what you could do to Vivaldi, that's from the Four Seasons. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. What exquisite stuff. Hey, our telephone here is 212-209-2900. This is The Positive Mind. We're talking about recessionary psychology. And, you know, you got to figure the following thing. There are certain people who are sourpusses. Right? Now, the sourpuss, which is a clinical diagnostic term we use here, what's the disorder called? Sourpuss. Well, the sourpuss is a person who's negative about everything. Okay. You need that. You got to have somebody who turns up their nose at everything, because they're going to find something stinking that you may not notice. So you got to have these kind of people who do that. And then you have people who refuse to see the darkness in anything. They're always seeing things light, and you have to have that. And then you have to have your angry people. Please don't make everybody all nice, because then it would be flaccid. You would have just this kind of limp, spaghetti world. You know, it's like a noodle. You don't want that. You want to have all the different forces in it. So when we listen to our people who call in the radio program, keep in mind what you're getting is a sampling of some of these beautiful people in this world. Some great people. And what I want to show you and what I'd want to demonstrate to you is that no matter who you are, you're understandable. It's okay. 212-209-2900. How have you been doing? Have you been scared? 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello
there.
Hi,
Armand. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. I wanted to tell you about a game that I don't know if you've heard about before, but one of my friends found it, and some of us have been playing it over the last couple of months to relieve some stress, put ourselves in a better headspace. It's called A Bounding River.
No, I don't know it. Write that down, Jana. Let's see. A Bounding River. What is A Bounding River?
Well, it was created by these people who have a cafe, I think, out in Berkeley. And it basically is a game about acknowledging how much abundance we have in our life and practicing gratitude.
And that works for you?
Sometimes it does, yeah. Because it takes me out of my headspace of being nervous about not having enough to another place of, you know, hey, look what I actually have today. I have this and I have this. I have a roof over my head. I have plenty of food to eat.
And you have good friends.
I have all these. Yeah, and I have an amazing group of friends, which I think what you were talking about earlier as far as the way that middle-class people are experiencing this in a very hard way, it's like, how are people in our culture identifying so much with material goods, you know, which everybody wants the material goods, and that's totally fine, actually, but we have to realize that is that the most important thing in life, to have, you know, a great car? And
well, you know, good friends is a really big thing. I mean, it's like you got to have a mishpucha. That's a Jewish I'm not Jewish, but I know what it means. You know, you got to have like a team, a family. You got to belong to something. Everybody has to belong to something. If you don't belong to anything, like we were listening to the guy who was so negative before, but he says all these people love him. He's
right.
Terrific. You know, it's like soap suds. I mean, my description of the universe is that we're all a sud in a world of soap suds. And if you imagine that you're one sud in a world full of soap suds, and that there are bubbles that are just coming up in a bathtub, and you're one sud, and you're growing like a bubble among all the other bubbles, and all the other bubbles are getting bigger and bigger at the same time, and then all at once they burst into this brilliant, beautiful white light. That's
mm-hmm.
our potential.
Mm-hmm.
Happy
yeah,
suds.
I believe that. I think that's wonderful vision.
You like soap suds.
Yeah, and, you know, you just reminded me of something. My friend Ariane has an amazing, she created this amazing labyrinth in Battery Park. And if people want to, it's a great way to relieve stress, and she has walks at least once a month, and I think she's going to start it doing it twice on the new moon and the full moon, the Labyrinth in Battery Park City. And I've heard so many people who've come on this walk say, wow, I never realized I could experience this in the concrete jungle.
Beautiful.
It's an amazing thing. So let me see. Her website is regenerativeculture.org.
Well, how terrific for you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. See, now, and trying to share stuff, it's really, you can hear this kind of beauty. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Armand DeMille, hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
How
nice of you to call.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I guess I'm speaking on behalf of people who are in their mid-30s, but I'm not one of the successful ones. So I'm just speaking on behalf of those who have been trying to struggle just to survive.
Speaking on behalf of the struggling 30s, right?
Yeah.
The struggling 30s. Boy, it's tough out there for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about people who, like, you know, I graduated from college 10 years ago. And I thought I would be getting somewhere in life. And I had maybe one or two jobs that were decent. But since then, I think the recession hit, like, for me, 7 years ago. And I think I've just been struggling ever since. Like, each job I've had has been kind of, my earning powers have been kind of on the low side.
Okay, but now we have to go a little further than that. We can't talk about recession. I can hear that you've had a growing depression. And isolation, those are both taking place for you. So how long have you been around? How old are you now?
I'd say I'm 36.
You're 36. Okay, so now for the last 7 years, right, you're saying around 29, 30, you felt yourself turning a corner and you felt yourself sinking. Now, where were you living 7 years ago?
I was living in North Jersey, like Hudson County.
Were you with your family?
Yeah.
And when did you leave your family?
4 or 5 years ago.
Uh-huh. So leaving your family was kind of tough on one hand, and you needed to do it on the other, right?
Yeah.
Why, were they abusive?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard.
To say because you just couldn't trust them. You didn't feel any love in that family.
Nah, not really.
So what's your name?
I'd rather not say.
Well, make one up.
D.
D. That's a nice name. Hey, D. So, D, a long time ago, you realized that you had a family that didn't love you. And you went out into this world like an orphan. You kind of struggled yourself out there, and you got out there, and you said, I got to make it on my own. And this is no simple thing. This is like an average person who's going out there. And you've been fighting hard against the tide to kind of make things work.
Yeah,
you're
you're
fighting against a depression that's pulling you backwards. So it makes it even harder, you know?
Yeah.
So
this is
not just economic depression we're talking about, a recession. We're talking about an emotional recession.
Oh, right. I just keep thinking I'll never be able to pay off these college loans and stuff. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to make it.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't pay off the loans, you know. You just don't pay them off.
But it's
not the college loans. You're never going to be able to get rid of the debt that you have, which is the denial of how bad it was with your family. See, the debt you're carrying is this big, heavy weight from having been betrayed by your family. Now, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah. And when I say that to you, you can feel the tears just coming right up behind you. That's the thing that's holding you back. It's not about the economy. It's not about the debt. It's about the fact that you've been a kid who's been alone in this world your whole life. And you've been just struggling, trying to get by. And you need some help with this, Dee. You need some help. So So I want to get you, I want to help find that help for you, no matter what we do, you know. Are you alone? Have you been talking to anybody? Do you see anybody?
I talked to a few people.
I want you to call my office, and I want me to arrange to have somebody help you through this. And they will. They will. They will, because you're about to change. You're about to, by making the phone call today, you said, I want to change. You say, I want to step out of this. I'm going to call Armand. You know, you reached out your hand to me today, not to talk about the recession, but because you need help.
Okay.
So you could tell the people, I'm the lady who calls herself D. And when you call my office, they'll take care of you.
Okay.
Okay,
thank
D,
you.
My heart's with you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. My office number is 212-757-4488, by the way. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hello.
What
a familiar voice.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay, this is a great show. I feel like I'm one of these people who, you know, I listen every day. I feel very alienated, and I feel very, very alone. And everything, you know, you've been talking about with the callers today about, you know, it's not about the material. It's about feeling the pain body, you know, the Eckhart Tolle, you know. And I have a purpose for my calling right now. I'm very alone, and I'm sort of in a very complex kind of situation. And I'm on Long Island, and I don't really belong here. And I can't connect to anything out here. And I'm wondering if, you know, there must be other listeners on Long Island, and maybe there can be some sort of connection through you that I can just not be so alone in my amygdalated misery.
Well, where in Long Island are you?
My amygdalated misery.
I like that. Where in Long Island?
Nassau County.
Whereabouts? What town?
Around the Lynbrook area.
Oh, sure. I know somebody right there.
Just some people.
I got people right there, right around Lynbrook, around Rockville Center.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about a therapist necessarily.
Yeah, I know.
My therapist wouldn't be bad. I'm seeing somebody 3 times a week, and...
Now, wait a minute. I've been talking to you for years.
Well, no, I think... Yeah, I always have a problem with this, because I think you give me credit for calling more than I do.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
I mean, I have a pretty distinctive voice.
You always have a problem with this, meaning that in the 10 times we've talked, I always think you've called more than you do.
Well, I always feel like, you know, I just feel like I'm not being taken. I'm being the boy who cried wolf kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
I'm calling, and then I'm just, you know, I feel kind of patronized sometimes.
You want to find a support group somewhere out there around the Lynbrook Avenue.
Some friends. I need somebody to talk to.
Well, send me an email. Send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com, and I think I know of something out there that I'll direct you to, okay?
Because I remember that woman calling from Jersey.
Yes.
And I'm in a lot of distress. I'm trying to modulate myself.
You mean
right
Maria,
now.
Who called from New Jersey, who got the people to help her?
Yeah, something like that, because I feel like an invalid. I have a bad physical problem. My problems have become overwhelming, and I'm also, you know, kind of strung out on a lot of things. And... You know, I'm living with my mother, which is, it's very toxic, and I'm middle-aged, and I can go on and on. And
all right, so you're going to send me an email. What's your name?
It's Robert.
Robert?
Yeah.
Robert, you send me an email, and I'll get back to you with my suggestion, okay?
One more thing. This thing about the family, you know, all sickness being homesickness type of deal.
Yep.
That's what I feel, and you know, I have no family, and the family I created for myself, which meant my closest intimate friends, they're all gone now. I think the worse my situation got, the more people kind of deserted me, you know, which is inevitable when you have a kind of a pain syndrome going on.
Sure, I hear.
I remember Kent Robert Shaw talking about the inevitability of being in pain, and after a while people just can't hear it anymore, and then it makes the pain worse. It gets into a vicious cycle of isolation. So,
well, you and I, as I said, you and I will talk about it. I think it needs more than what we could do on radio. Send me an email. I will get back to you, okay? Robert, good to talk to you.
I will email you.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, wow. I can't believe I got through. Hi, my name is...
You couldn't believe it. You did it.
I can't believe
you
it.
You did it. What's your name?
Oh, my name is Celia.
Celia.
I'm from Staten Island. I'm crying for that between Robert and the other young woman that called in, because I can really relate to what they're saying.
Yeah.
My God, it's like it's a physical thing. I could feel it.
Celia, what are you doing on Staten Island?
Oh man!
Oh man!
Not much of anything. I've been chronically ill for quite some time. In fact, they discovered that I've had this triple tick infection since I was 7 years old.
Uh-huh, wow!
And it's just ravaged my body. There's antibiotics and more antibiotics, which is its own nightmare. I just
So who are you mad at?
Who am I mad at? Everybody.
Yeah, give me one. Name one in particular.
Oh, my
First
God.
Person that comes to your mind.
Right now, my family.
Yeah, who in your family? First person. Go on, don't censor it. First
okay,
person.
Okay, my dad.
Yeah, dad. I knew you're mad at your father. What are you mad at him about?
Because I love him so much, he has issues that he never addressed.
All right, wait a minute. Now, if you were to talk to him directly, you would say to him, I'm mad at you because you don't what?
You don't know how to protect yourself, and therefore you didn't know how to protect me.
I'm mad at you because you didn't protect me, Daddy.
Right.
Just say those words. See what happens.
Oof. I can't even say it.
You will.
How did you know I was mad? Oh.
Come on, Celia. Let's go. Yeah. Now I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. I know he doesn't mean it.
No, don't talk about him. You got to say it directly. I'm mad at you because you didn't take care of me. When you say those words, you're going to break the rule. See, there's a rule inside you. They put a little rule in your brain. You're not allowed to say, no, you're not allowed to explain anything because we're going to get you through this.
He does love me. That's
the
craziest part.
You stop talking about him.
Okay.
Here's what we need you to do. Do you want the fixin'? This is the fixin' you're getting. Directly to him, say the words.
What was I supposed to say? You believe this?
I'm mad at you because you didn't take care of me.
Can I add something to it?
No.
Oh, God. Okay. Dad, I'm mad at you because you didn't take care of me.
I want you to say that again and say it louder.
Louder?
Louder, yeah.
Dad, I'm mad at you because you didn't take care of me.
Now, take away the word dad and just say, I'm mad at you because you didn't take care of me, and I want you to shout it as loud as you can.
Oh, my God.
Here we go.
Shout it?
Shout it. Yes, shout it.
I'm going to move the phone from your ear so I don't break your ear.
You're not going to hurt me. You're afraid of hurting me. You're afraid of hurting your dad. You're afraid that if you ever told your father how you really felt, you'd hurt his feelings, and you're putting that on me. You think you're going to hurt my ears?
Yeah.
No, you're not going to hurt my ears. I love you. Come on. As loud as you can. I'm mad at you because you didn't take care of me. Go for it.
Did I say couldn't?
I've got an issue. You want to know what it's like to be fully neurotic? Here it comes. Come on, let's go for it. The loudest voice you got.
I'm going to freak out my neighbors.
Here we go. Now your neighbors are going to become your father, too.
I'm mad at you because you didn't take care of me.
You almost felt it. One more step, and you'll never have to do it again.
Louder?
Yeah, just feel it when you say it.
Okay. I'm mad at you because you didn't take care of me.
There it is. Oof. Don't say anything now, Celia.
What did you say?
Don't say anything now. Don't say any words now, okay? I want your heart to settle down. I want you to understand that it wasn't fair. That it wasn't fair that a young girl like you winds up with somebody who's too afraid to take on people who couldn't protect her, and that you've had to be alone most of your life. Of course I understand your father. Of course I understand the way he was, and I understand the way you are. But I feel sad about that. I feel sad. I wish he had taken care of you. And now it's time for you to give up trying to get him to take care of you anymore. From here on in, it's all up to you. I'm going to tell you what you have. Are you married?
No.
Good. You have to get out of Staten Island.
I know.
I mean, I know, too.
I really, you don't want to know.
I do know. Why do you think I'm saying it? You have to get out of Staten Island, Celia. And you got to do it within a couple of months. Because, you know, the ticks, when you leave, the ticks stay in Staten Island. They never leave Staten Island. They love Staten Island. They're not allowed to travel over the border.
Oh. I know. Triple tick infection.
So you come to New York. You come to New York or you find some other place. But get out of Staten Island. Not that there's something bad about Staten Island intrinsically. I just know for you, you have to leave it.
Well, I was raised in Manhattan.
Yeah.
We moved here, and I felt like I went to another planet.
Yeah, you lost your soul. So I want to thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, and thank you.
Thank you for your courage.
And thank you for, I love the way you spoke to those, myself and the other two people. I could tell that in this world of uncaring people or whatever, you just, it really touched me.
We're all in it together. You know, Celia,
thank you.
And I are the same thing, except you're in Staten Island.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You can send me an email, armand@positivemind.com. And this program will be up on our website, WBAI.org, which when you go to that website, you'll find in the upper right-hand corner a wonderful little button where you can make donations to the station. It's a great station. So, my friends, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Stay tuned.
I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things. Ever done before. I'll never know what made